So anyone who's been learning with us in the Tzuba Merabanan series on Monday nights, we have a fascinating shiur right now in the middle of the topic of Kibud Avaim. And this past week we were talking about these fasting tshuvot, which were written by Rav Eliezer Melamed, which is a contemporary Rosh Yeshiva in, the Yeshiva is called Har Bracha in Eretz Yisrael today. It's a Dati Lumi community. He has Bnei Yeshiva who are members of Tzahal and Tzava. He's preparing to enlist in the army. And he wrote, I think it's 16 or 18 volumes of Halacha Tshuvot to post Shiloh to Tshuvot. And they were fasting. The Shiloh we were talking about on Monday night. Who remembers what we were talking about? I don't even remember what we're talking about.
If the parents are a Russia.
And it got me thinking about, I'm glad you guys are listening.
Yeah.
It got me thinking about the question of, are there limits to honoring one's parents? By the way, I had no idea, Mitchell and Bram, I had no idea we were doing this year. And for a Roman, I didn't know that we were doing about your parents. You know, I didn't know we were sponsoring when I prepared this year. But this year is either going to be a home run or a big gaffe. I'm either going to bring up a lot of good memories or a lot of bad memories, depending on wherever your minds go during in memory lane. Are there limits to the mitzvah of honoring one's father and mother? And I was so inspired by the tshuvot. They were so relevant, so contemporary. I bought the whole set right behind Ed over here. I bought the set of Shilohs so that we could all enjoy them. Because they're not, it's not a classic shut that you see in many yeshivot. And you'll see the tshuvot we're going to read tonight. They are so contemporary, so relevant. I thought that Tzibur, the Olam, would appreciate. So I bought. So I'm looking for sponsors. I spent a few hundred dollars of the shul's money. If anyone wants to help pay for this farm, it'd be a great great zechus for the shul, and you know, it'd be very helpful. I like to buy first and then ask for sponsors later, right? Okay, but everyone should feel free. I brought them here. We'll find a shelf to put them on. We can all
shoot them. First.
Shoot first, exactly. Okay, so here's the connection to the parsha, because this is a parsha shiur. We try when we can to connect to the parsha. The Torah tells us in the opening psukim, Daber al kol dat bnei Yisrael v'amar to them, kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem lokechem. You should be holy, for I am holy. Ish imo v'aviv tiro v'shab sosai tishmor ani Hashem lokechem. You have to fear your father, your mother and father, and you should keep my Shabbos, for I am Hashem. So you'll notice in the very same pasuk where the Torah commands us of the mitzvah of, this is talking about Mora, Avaim, but the concept we'll see connected to Kibud Avaim, honoring one's parents, is in the same very pasuk of Shmirat Shabbat, of it's keeping not,
it's not,
Shabbos.
I mean, the verbiage is fear. It's not honoring. I mean, isn't that a little strange?
I think I made tissue from this room. What?
Isn't that a little strange so, that you should fear them?
So Rav Soloveitchik, tissue's better, but yeah. Rav Soloveitchik in his Chumash talks about the idea that really we should really define it as Mora, as awe. No one, the goal is not to be fearful of one's parents, and maybe when your kids are very young, you want them to be scared because you want them to run to the streets. But in general, as the relationship develops, really the right translation, the word we should use is, for Mora is awe. You should be in awe of your parents, not fearful of them. Okay? But we're gonna use this pasuk as talking about both. As we'll see, Rashi is going to mention, thank you so much, Rashi is going to mention both Kibud Avaim and Mora Avaim. So listen to what Rashi first says. Rashi says in source 2, Semech Shmirat Shabbat Lamora Av. The Torah puts Shmirat Shabbat, safeguarding Shabbat, keeping Shabbat next to fearing one's parent. Lomar, Afo Pishis Tarticha Mora Av. Even though you're commanded to fear your father, Im Yomer L'Chachal Asa Shabbos Al Tishmelo. Famously, if your father tells you, you should be Machal Shabbos, you should not keep the Shabbos, you shouldn't listen to him. V'chein B'shar Kol Mitzvos. And the Rashi tells us, this is by all mitzvos. If your parent ever would instruct you to go against the Torah, you do not have to listen to your parents. Why? Rashi continues, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, for I am Hashem, all of your God. Because all of you, both you and your parents, all have to listen to my Torah. Because your father has to listen to my Torah. If he tells you to violate the Torah, you're not allowed to listen. Not allowed to listen because he has to listen to me. That's what Rashi tells us. These are famous ideas. Rashi then goes on to say, Ezu Mora, what does it mean to be in awe of your parents? Lo Yesha Bimkomo, Mora is, you shouldn't sit in a seat. Lo Yadabim Bimkomo, you shouldn't speak when it's his turn to speak. Lo Yistor Svarim, you shouldn't contradict his words. We'll kind of come back to that. Veizu kavod, and what is kibud avim? Michael mashka. These are the physical things. You've got to give him what to eat, to drink. Malbish manil, give him clothes to wear, shoes to put on. Machnis motzi. You know, you got to take him on errands, bring him to the doctor, whatever he needs. You need to help. You know, be a driver and be with him. Okay, that's what Rashi tells us. Rashi already is alluding to the fact that it gets complicated. There's a struggle, a tension between what your parent is saying and your desire to honor them. The Shulchan Aruch steps it up a notch. Shulchan Aruch tells us, "Amar lo avi lavor divrei Torah." If he tells you, your parent tells you to transgress a violation of the Torah, be mitzvah ase, be mitzvah lo tase, whether positive or negative, a few mitzvah shel divrei, even if it's only rabbinic of nature, lo yishmelo, you don't have to listen to him. But then he says, "What about the following? Ha'av shetzivet beno shelo yadaber im ploni." What if it's not really a mitzvah? What if it's just this family brigus? There's a family machloket. Someone doesn't, lo aleinu, you have these situations that they're...
The Hatfields and McCoys.
The Hatfields and McCoys?
No, that's two different families.
These are people not in our shul, right?
But those are two different families.
Okay,
but those are
right?
Two different families.
Today. So, either way.
I'm just, Zatman and Lubavitch.
Zatman and Lubavitch. Okay. Isaac always wants to kick it up a notch, you know? Add a little fire to the shear, okay? You have a Jew... And they're in a fight with someone else. And he says, "I don't want you talking to this other relative, this other person." The shloyim cholo adzman katzim. I don't want you to forgive. There was a sichsuk. There was an argument. I don't want you to forgive that person. That ben hayirotz lid payes miyad. The son just wants. The son is not so invested in the argument. He wants to just move on. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Lule tevas aviv." Aside from his father's commandment, ein lo lechush letzavato. The Shulchan Aruch paskins lehalacha that you do not need to listen to the father. The child is allowed to, you know, disregard the commandment of the father.
Is he a child or is he an adult?
Okay, we'll talk about the age of what there might be a difference in the age. But the child does not have to listen to the wishes of the father. Why? The Taz says, and the Shach really says the same thing. These are the commentaries on the side of Shulchan Aruch says in 4 and 5, "Sha'asili snom l'shum Yehudi," because there's an isser of hating another fellow Jew. "Im lo sha'u over aveira," unless you have some sort of cause of why you don't like them. "Nimso sha'ab mitzu mitzabe oso lavo divrei Torah." This is similar to our case of Rashi. If the parent tells you, "I don't want you to talk to Uncle Buck," you know, and you say, "I love Uncle Buck, you know, we want to go to the Yankees game together." So you don't have to listen to your father because you have a commandment that you should not hate any other Jew. So how can I not have a good relationship with Uncle Buck? I want to go hang out with him. So you don't have to listen. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's what the Shach and the Taz essentially say. Okay? So we are now going to take this tshuva and just unpack it. I just gave you the basic makarot in Shulchan Aruch and Poskim, and you know, and now we're going to go unpack it and get and break it down a little bit. Any comments or questions before we do that? Yeah,
it's
Rabbi.
Only a Jew.
Okay, at this point, maybe it's only a Jew because it needs to be in contradiction to an isur. Right, we might come back to that, but at this point, the svara is you have to listen to your father if there's no reason not to. That's what you're saying, right? There's right. No isser to hate a non-Jew, but there's an isser to hate a Jew. So maybe that we can make that distinction. Although I think it's a good thing to like every person.
No, right? but that's what I'm saying, because you mentioned you're not supposed to hate another Jew, okay?
So maybe, perhaps.
But so perhaps, it's like the Gemara always says, if you don't, why did you only say this? That means that everything else is allowed.
Could be.
And Rabbi, you're saying
we're on the record. For the record, you should love every person, every human being.
And you being overly nice when the Shulchan Aruch says lo yishma, it's not that you don't have to, like you said. Now, if he tells you to be over an iser, you can't.
You
right?
You said
you don't have. No, it's not that you don't have to. Lo yishma devara.
Don't listen.
Don't right. Do
don't
not.
Listen. Okay, be more forceful.
Completely do not follow.
Okay, so this is what. This is what Eliezer Melamed deals with this question. So I think it's so relevant to see that rabbis are dealing with real issues. It's not just the, you know, Yoredeya, Shilas, Kashrus, Shabbos. These are real family matters. So let's read the tshuva a little bit inside. Let's start from the third paragraph. He brings the sources we already touched. And he says, Lif Amim, the third paragraph in page 32. It's page 2 in your packet. It says, Haurim mistachzakim im adam mesuyim. People get into arguments. Shachin or karav mishpacha, their neighbor or relative. Hamachlokas holakas ma'amika, and the argument gets bad. Malbonos katanim alinituk sharm goes from small insults to breaking the relationship. Va'orim tovim shagam banam yishatef iman pula, and the parents want their kids to pick a side. V'inatekat sharm shulo im oto adam. They want you to break off your relationship with that person to be on their side. Va'ben lumadzo lo meunyein lishatef im riva shel rav, and the kid says, I don't want to get involved in your issues. The daito yesh lekayim yachasim tovim in kol adam. He wants to have good relationships with everyone. Ha'horim mitzidam migayisim l'tovatam et mitzvos kibud horim. And they're saying, hey, Yankala, you gotta listen to your parents. Kibud avim. U'mashim et ha'ben b'bogdanut. They're putting pressure, calling him a little bit of like a traitor. U'vznicha ta'horim l'man ezu doda minuvel doshachin rasha. How could you hang out with doda rush, you know, he's saying aunt loser or neighbor evil person? How can you have a relationship with that person? That person is disgusting. What do you have to do? So we just saw the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, you don't need to listen because we have a mitzvah. He quotes, is that what the Shulchan Aruch said?
Yeah.
It wasn't Lo Sisna? I thought Shulchan Aruch said Lo Sisna. In Lo Okay, it was the Taz mentioned Lo Sisna. Okay, but either way, he says, because we have a mitzvah, haftarecha kamocha, you have to love every Jew, so therefore he says, you don't need to listen to him. Then he goes on, he takes a step further. I hope no one's been in this situation, but I imagine statistically someone's been in this situation. Kayot v'zeh, im ha'horim mitnagdim sh'yaldem yelchul chatunashel ech mikro mishpachtam shemisuch sachitam. What if there's a machlok in the family, and they're making a wedding? And the parents say, I don't want you going to that mishpacha's wedding. We don't talk to that mishpacha. Aser le'yeladim l'shmuel l'oreim. Again, you don't have to listen. Aser, it's forbidden to listen to your parents. V'aleim l'kayim et ha'mitzvah l'sameach atam v'kala b'nigud l'ratzon ha'orim. Because here again, we have in contrast to the mitzvah of honoring your parents, is the mitzvah to b'sameach atam v'kala. Then a caveat, if there's really grounds for what the parents are saying, maybe you have to ask a rabbi. Okay, that's shaila number one, about sichsuch, argument between a family. Now here's another shaila. Okay, another case where you have opposition to what the parents' wishes. So I'm just going to summarize the shaila because we don't have to read everything. What if your father, I apologize to the smokers in the room, what if your father asks you to purchase him cigarettes? He says, Yankala, go to the store, buy me cigarettes. And you feel that cigarettes are problematic. You think that you shouldn't be smoking. He says, he writes in another tshuva that it's mazik lebriot, it's bad for your health. But astula sayela devar avera, I can't help my father do something which is going to be detrimental to his health. So what do I do in that situation? On the one hand, again, keep it up aim. On the other hand, it's something that I don't think is good for my father. So what do you do? What do you think?
You go to the grocery, you say that there was no cigarettes. So you lie.
This guy's clearly been through the situation. He knows. He knows what to do. Practical rabbinics. Isaac's lived enough.
But the thing is like this. To me, it's very simple. Are you by a girl, whether she's a bogress already, then she's not under the influence of her father's will. You know, if she's got an Erison already, she's under her husband's will. So the father doesn't have no. And if it's a man at a certain age, that's it.
Right. So we'll talk about that. So he quotes Rav Dovra Levi Siegel in the first paragraph, and he basically says that again because it's in the contradiction to and contrast to lifnei iver, you shouldn't before a blind person places a stumbling block. Any time that the parent is asked to do something which goes against any mandate in the Torah, he says you're not supposed to do it, and therefore you should not do it. But then he says something very important. I think this is a very key sensitivity that I've noticed in the Tshuvot that I've read. He says in the last paragraph on page 3, he says ki karonachin kach shurat hadin. That's the technical halacha. Technically, you shouldn't do it. Ulam im hadavar yigrum l'sichsuch gadol. But what if this whole thing is going to blow up in your face? Your parent asks you to go to the grocery store and buy a box of cigarettes, and you're saying no. is just going to be, you know, it's going to cause a whole brayus. It says nimshus b'sofer shadavar haben yigrum lepikia chamura biyachseya ava ve'akavet shetzrichin liyob beino lebein aviv. It's gonna blow up in your face. V'schar yotzev efsera. You think you're being a tzaddik? It's gonna be bad for you. V'lachein nira shu mikra sheha himanut mikniyat asigariot lo tuvana de'av. If the parent is not capable of understanding why the child is not doing what he's asking, and it's going to cause a whole machloket, then in that scenario, the ben, then he should go ahead and purchase the cigarette in order there shouldn't be a big blow. Which I thought was such a...
It's not worth it.
Shalom Bayis said sometimes you have to see through how it's going to play out. It's true, technically, you don't have to listen to the parent if it's in contradiction of another mitzvah, positive or negative. But you still have to see the, you know, roes hanolad. How is this going to play out? If it's going to play out and it's going to blow up in my face, so then there are other considerations. However, it's interesting, the footnote 9, there he says, in the first case, where he says that they don't want you to speak to Uncle Buck, whatever we called him, al yishmalo, you still don't have to listen. Even if it will become a big deal. There he says it's different. He says in the case of going to the wedding or talking to the relative, you don't have to listen. You can fib a little bit, pretend, downplay your relationship, pretend like you didn't go to the wedding. Mm. But you practically should go to the wedding, and it's different than this case. So the difference he wants to say is that buying a cigarette is really, you're not really, he says it's an iser kal. It's really a small thing in the big picture of what you're up against. But breaking up a family, not going to a family wedding, he said that's a real big deal, and you should not listen to the parent. You should go to the family wedding.
Is it because it's an asinon?
I think he's saying by cigarettes it's just misayeya. You're just aiding just a little bit. The father's going to get the cigarettes anyway.
So that's what I'm saying. Asinon loisasim. Over there, the father can actually go
can
out.
Get it himself. Right.
At the wedding,
it's nothing to do with him. Right. It's nothing to do with him. So Rav Pnei Halacha says you should go to the wedding despite the parents' wishes, even if it's going to be a sichsuch, but you should purchase the cigarettes to avoid a big machloka.
Suppose the situation is reversed, where the parents want you to go to the wedding, but you don't want to go because the person is marrying a guy or something. Right, right. So what happens then?
It's a great question. So what do we think?
There's no
mitzvah
in there.
So there the iser is...
The question is over there, the iser comes out...
Going into the church.
The church or something like... The question
it's
is...
It's not in the church. It's in a hole.
It's not in the church.
That's a great question.
It's another Jew.
That's not in the church.
If it's a Jew, you're going to the wedding.
But Michael's, he has to listen. Michael's, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Michael's asking a good question. He's saying he's marrying a non-Jew. This is a sensitive issue. I wonder if we should pause this for a second. Turn it back on. Yeah.
The question. Now, suppose the parents don't allow to hang around with somebody, and they're Jewish, but they're either criminals or they just could put a potentially bad influence on the child.
They don't want you to hang out with the wrong crowd.
Right, wrong crowd. So... does he have to listen or not? Because, they're Jews, they need some attention, need some respect. Right, but they'll put bad influence on you. Right. I don't want you to hang around with them.
Right. That's a good reason
It's an interesting child. Let's move on a little bit to see some more. I think the next thing will give us a little more hagdara. How do we try to quantify? It might help with your child. Yeah.
I think it's just a very, very big gray area. I want to just give you like a little example, because when I was in the army and it was a big thing if you are supposed to obey to illegal command. And I'll give you an example. It's like when I was in service and we captured like guys in Hebron that was throwing a stone at us. Mm-hmm. We got the guys, we cuffed him and put him in. I'm the only one around that was speaking Arabic, so my commander told him, ask him why did he throw a stone. So I asked him in Arabic why he threw a stone, and he told me I didn't throw any stones.
Liar.
And I just I translated to my commander, and I said, he said that he didn't understand. And he told him, kick him in his butt.
Not torture.
Yeah, it just that was his command. Kick him in his butt and then ask him the question again.
The tzivui.
So, you know, I didn't feel like I want to give him a kick in his butt. I didn't want to hit the guy. And so I was facing two things. Either I'll hit the guys and I hate myself, or either because I spoke with him in Arabic and he swore to me that he, on his mom and his mom's grave, that he didn't throw anything. He wasn't even involved. I mean, he doesn't know where we got him. And like the mother doesn't hit him. So I was in either like, I hate the guy and I hate myself, or either as I'm not going to hate the guy. And
you're in trouble.
And I'm going to stay for Shabbat at the base because I didn't obey.
I said you're in trouble.
What was my commander told me?
Israeli court-martial. Wow.
That's so complicated.
And it's stayed like that.
Masim b'choyom, right? Huh? It happened probably every day. Something.
Yeah, and this is exactly things like we're showing here, like you know. Right.
Yeah, but this is I understand this is a commander giving you command, but this is the tzivu of the Torah. Where father comes into
but
play.
But in the role of the army, you're not supposed to obey an illegal command. But now everything is debatable if it's
legal
command or is in the legal command.
Yeah, but
and as a soldier and a commander, and I was in the two sides. I was a soldier and I wasn't a commander.
Here,
and
the Torah is mitzvah.
You always is this is such a big gray that's area
human,
that you cannot
that's
cover.
A human. The human is commanding. The human, the army has its rules. They're commanding, but this is the Torah commanding from a child to give kibbutz avim.
Takes precedence?
The Torah takes always precedence. That's the bottom line.
But I say it like this is not black and white. Yeah, listen, this is a gray area. Maybe your father has his own right and he's doing it in the right way, but you don't see it in this way. So where are you going to pull
that's
it?
That's the right or wrong. That's
thing?
Why the Shulchan Aruch is putting out the parameters where. It's wrong and right, and what the response is supposed to be.
I think it's easier in halacha. Halacha is more clear.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think it's harder in your situation.
Because over there, it's human
person.
That's the difference.
But on the other hand, an army can't operate. An army can't function if the soldiers don't listen to commands.
That's a command.
No. You're saying that the mefaked is human. He's flawed. I'm saying, but then there's also big adol. An army will fall apart if everyone is disobeying their tzivuyim. It's complicated, right?
Yeah, but over here, the Loch is teaching you something. The Torah is telling you kibbutz avim, right? That's it. And the Torah goes ahead. But if it commands you to do something, to regress any sins of the Torah, whether less a kala or loy kala, it doesn't matter. You can't transgress it.
Right.
Now the shalom comes into the black and the white, so that's where the Loch is start falling into place, what you're supposed to do. Go get me a cigarette. Don't get me the cigarette. What is going to happen? But in commanding in an army, the discipline is completely different.
Just to this incident. I was hesitating.
What did you do?
No, that's what I say. I was like freeze for a second, and the commander hit him on his butt.
He saw that you were stuck.
Yeah, he kicked him on his butt.
And did he admit it or no?
Huh?
He kicked him with your foot.
No, did he admit it or not?
No, the guys kept saying, I have nothing to, I wasn't involved.
Okay, let's try to be magged a little bit because the hour's already late and there's so much to discuss, but we don't have to, we can continue next week if we need to. So either way, the question is, what topics do you have to listen to your parents? So look at Chaf Alf page 4. He says in the last paragraph, he says, You have to listen to your parents. A mitzvah, but it's not an obligation. What if it's a matter which really isn't nogea to the father? What if it's a matter which is really the kid's decision, the kid's choice? He gives some cool examples. Bidugma, the first example is not so cool. He says, "What if your parent tells you on a somewhat cold day, you have to wear a sweater, but you don't like to wear a sweater? You want it's a warm day. You don't want to put Yom Cham on a warm day. Put on a sweater. I don't want to wear a sweater." He tells you to do something which is going to be detrimental to you, but he told you to do it. Your mother is very anxious, right? And she told you to do it. So there, you don't have to listen to her because it's nogea. It's irrelevant to you. It's not relevant to them. So then he says, in the top of page 5, Ki ikar mitzvahs kibud horim, the main function of kibud av aim, hu liseyeh lam b'davar sheish lam mimenu to el ishit. It's to give your parents honor, way that they will personally benefit from what you're doing. Going shemal bisha machilam. That's your, you're giving them food, you're giving them clothes. Well, hashmiya bekolam ein ochova. Listening to their opinions isn't an obligation. And here we get interesting. So he says, and therefore you don't have to listen when he tells you to put on the sweater. But then he says, wait, but we have another. Remember, Rashi said, that one of the hagdaras of Mora'av, fearing your being awe, is not to be soter etvarav, not to go against their opinion.
That's not what it means.
So he says, mitzvah moro rim eino chayav lishmo ala. You still don't have to listen. Ki ikar hamora hu shelo lifgoa bechvodam. What is Mora'av? What is fearing awe, parents? That's not to do anything which will, you know, diss them, not anything which will denigrate on their honor. It's not that you're not allowed to disagree with your parents. Don't think that every kid has to be a shmata for everything their parents say. I'm sticking up for the kids. All of us are kids on some level, right?
Everybody's somebody's child.
Everyone's somebody's child. If it's not directly related to your parents, then you don't have an obligation to listen to the parents' wishes. In the next page, he's going to give an example. I'll give you some examples. What if you want to sit and learn? You want to sit and learn for a few years after high school, and you don't want to go to college. What if you want to make aliyah? What if you're living in Israel and you want to go to a unit which is kravi? You want to go to a battle unit. Your parent says, "No, I want you to get a desk job." What if you want to? These are some examples he gives.
Chasam,
we're going to talk about chasam maybe next week. Maybe we'll say that for next week. If you don't mind, if you like this year, we can.
What does he give of the college?
He says all these things. If it doesn't directly impact the parent, directly impact them, then you are allowed to not listen. But here is the most, I think, is fascinating the example he gave. We'll turn the page. We'll come back to Isaac's thing. Talks about picking a profession. I think this is so classic. Cool. And we got Bram and Jason here, so this is going to bring up some family dynamics over here. Okay, we got doctor and doctor. It says imahorim tovim. Last page 6 says, what if the parents are asking their kid shiyuma dafko miktsua mesuyam? I want you to learn a specific trade.
Yeah,
Kigon, for example, what is the classic example? Refua. I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be a lawyer. We got Ariel and his dad also over here. Right? We got all these father son combos who work together. Ve'ilu who wrote to lomar machshavim, and the son wants to go into computers. He's not interested in becoming a doctor.
He wants to work with his hands, maybe.
Whatever, yeah. Im yishma b'kol mikay mitzvah. If he becomes a doctor, so Jason and Ariel are good sons. They followed their father's footsteps. So then they get schar. They did a mitzvah. Achu inu chayv lasokein. You don't have to do it. Kizu hachlata shekshura lechayav. This is relevant to the kid's life. It's not directly linked to the father's honor or fear. What if the dad says, no, I'm going to be in so much pain if you don't become a doctor. I'm going to be in agony if my child's not a doctor. How many of us have heard that from our parents at some point in our lives? Ah, oh, gaval, it's going to be terrible if you don't become a doctor. You don't have to listen to their voice. Ki ein zeh davar kashur yishirut alehem. It's not directly related to their happiness. He's sure that computers or working with your hands is better for him personally. He should go into computers. You should explain to your parents in a diplomatic way, I'm sorry, I'm squeamish, I don't like blood, but I really think that the computer is the way of the future. I saw this tshuva, I said, I got to share it with the chevra. But then he says something else. This is also very sharp. He says, "Hahorim chayvim lomod." The parents also need to learn la'kir ba'atzmu tam shel yaldeim, to also understand the individualization of their kids. Kedei shlo yitu v'yakimu she'iru reha saviv kol achatatz mi'ich al yaldam. They have to give them the space to be able to make their own decisions. Also,
you still want to take it home?
As a parent, he wants to take it home to remember his childhood. I don't think he right, Ofer?
Yeah, as a parent, I will take it home.
As a parent for your kids, you want to take it home. Okay. Either way. Such fascinating. So saying the Hagdara, we're saying is it needs to be, the question is it directly related to you? Again, I don't think this really addresses the Mifaked case. But at least in many of the cases we have with parents and kids, the arguments that go on, we can at least figure out. If it's directly related to the parent, then it's okay. If it's just like their personal preference, but it's really your life, so then...
Let's tell you to clean your room.
So then it gets to that. Let's go back. Let's finish with that paragraph. This Isaac gets to Isaac. What's the age we're talking about? So go back to page 5. We'll end with this paragraph. He says, in the second paragraph, Amnam. It says, Amnam, Yelet Shesamach Al Shulchan Horav. If you are still financially dependent on your parents, Chayav Lishma B'Kolam, then you have an obligation to listen. Vibnei Shem Achraim Alav Yodim Matovlo. Because they're responsible for you, and they know what's best for you. We're assuming. Hoping they know what's best.
That applies for a sweater also?
I would think so. When I tell my kids, you need to wear a coat on a day like today, you need to bring a light jacket, they're like, no, I'm going to wear my bikini outside. They don't know. They're 5. It depends how old they are. My little kid doesn't know that to wear a short sleeve shirt today is... Yeah, it depends how old we're talking about.
Okay, but Somech HaShulchanadev is someone who's 15.
Right, okay, so let's see. So he says, at this point, I'm assuming we're talking about... At this point, I assume he was only talking about under Bar Mitzvah, Bar Bar Mitzvah. But then he says, V'gamla Acher Gil Mitzvah, even after your Bar Bar Mitzvah. Now we're getting to 14, 15. Kol Zman She'yaladim Garim Etzel Horeim, as long as they're in the house, Alam L'hitchashay B'Bakoshotem. They really need to take into effect what the parents are asking. She'en Ra'ui L'istayeya B'hem, V'lo L'hitchashay B'Ritzonam. Ofer, take this home. It's not appropriate that your kids are dependent on you and relying on you, but you don't listen to their opinion. I think that's the take it to the bank for the parents of teenagers, right? It's
you live how, under my roof.
It's that's a tarte disaster. If you live under my roof, you have to be machshav. What? High school. What? Okay. Uvadai.
I don't think that's the right shot.
What do you mean?
Shane Worthless, Day Abraham. I don't think he's talking about the kids. He's talking about towards the parents. It's not right of the kids who are living by their parents to argue with their parents
and not to depend on your parents and not be
He's saying
it's not right
for the kids to do that.
The kids shouldn't take from the parents.
But if he does,
the kid taking from the parents, and then they don't care what they have to say. That's what he said. I think that's a tremendously.
You stand correct.
It's a very very sensitive nuance. I thought that this rav is, and then he says, "Uvadai shebechol ma shekashur l'sidrei habayit." Talk about chores, anything which has to do with clean up after yourself, set the table, then they have an obligation to listen to their parents. You're living in their home, you have to listen. Okay, so then he talks about mitzvah. So this is basically, we'll stop at this idea, but just to summarize, I think we've seen that what we've learned tonight is mitzvah kibav aim does have limitations. Limitations are when it's in contradistinction to a aveira or some other mitzvah, positive or negative, then you do not need to listen to your parents. And then, what if it's more of a gray area? It's not black or white. So then we have to ask ourselves, is the topic in discussion, is it directly related to the benefit of the parent, or is it just their personal preference? And if it's really just not directly related, such as your trade, what college you go to, learning for one extra year in Israel or not, you know, something that's we're not talking about a major difference, so then the child has a right to not listen to those things. In fact, later when he talks about Aliyah and going to the army, he calls those mitzvot. He says there it's actually a mitzvah. It's more clear. You don't have to listen.
If the son wants to go to Israel, or the son wants to learn. What about if the son doesn't want to learn and the father wants him to learn?
That it's clear that the son has to, because now the father is supported by... Wait, what's the case? The father is supported by mitzvah Talmud Torah.
He's supportive. But is the kid, he's saying to the son, now you're 18 years old.
Is the kid cut out for learning, though?
The child is, the father is telling you, and here's the mitzvah Yigisabo Yom Revelela, yeah? So the father is in the right in this yes, situation, yes. Right? So
double right.
What happens now? Now he can't say, for me, it's a tercha, you know.
No, you should listen. If it's an extreme situation, I have some students who just...
Let's raise it. Yeah. Some of the kids are out there not to be.
What if the father says...
the father says, I want you to be a rofa.
You're my batel Torah, you should be up half the night.
Boy.
Yeah.
If he's tired, he says, I'm going to sleep.
That's not right. You can't do
why?
That.
No. Because over there, it's his own goof. It's his own goof. Right, he's tired. Right.
Graham,
he can't go.
Did you want to say something still? Wrap up with all this stuff? Okay.
Go. We're all done.
We're going to be all night. We're going to be fighting all night.
We need somebody that can pull people in.
Okay, so we're going to stop here. But first, I just want to encourage you. I bought this whole set for the Shul to enjoy. It was such a fascinating Shuvot. On Monday nights, there's some fast. We're going to continue with Suba Mirabana. Those who come Monday, and we're going to do some more of the Shuvot, and we'll see if people enjoy this. Maybe I'll look for more Shuvot. This was connected to the Parsha, so it's very relevant. And I know that in the All Star Home, I'm sure Bram and his siblings all were always lock, sink, and barrel with Jack. Jack was such a good guy that you know, it's hard to imagine.
It's hard to imagine.
And you know, this week's parsha is Kedoshim, and there's holiness in many things and people and our actions, and it just really just 15 minutes of homework during breakfast today, and I know the thought and the phrase Ahavta v'yachad kamocha is in this week's parsha, and that is epitomizes what my father was about. You know, he always had good things to say. He always had a smile. Actually, I don't want to. I feel funny
Jack,
telling you about something I'm doing tomorrow.
About Jack Alston.
I have many bad qualities, but the good thing in me. I'm going to see a patient of mine who was a patient for 30 years, and I love him, and he's unfortunately gone through dialysis. And finally, I'm off tomorrow, and I'm going to spend an hour with him during that procedure. And that was my father and me. The only difference is I'm telling you about this. My father would do it and not say anything.
Right?
And he was a very, very special man and very humble. And
a good friend of mine.
And very grateful.
He's a good guy.
He's a good friend of everybody in the shul.
And it's special to me in my own right, but it's special to me.
And he enjoyed the shul.
From Manhattan to be here tonight as well.
Very nice.
From Rockland County. And all of you, and Rabbi, I know you know how I feel about you. And I definitely will make some contribution to these books. So if that could start something going here.
Okay, I'll keep buying, you know. I have a wish list. I have a wish list.
I don't know what they are, but I'll commit the first.
Okay.
The biggest things that stick out to of your father to